diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your
house. Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. We continue to read the scriptures live. Well, not live, but live. We're reading the scripture of the Acts chapter 10, and this is a wonderful chapter. One chapter that I get questioned about so many times, and we'll be discussing it today. But first, let's open up in prayer. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu. Yahweh Echad, Baruch Shem Kivo, Mahuto, Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. Love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire and when you rise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day. So we're up to Acts chapter 10, and we see here it says, in Caesarea, where they lived, in Caesarea there, lived a Roman officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of an Italian regiment. And it says here, the Roman officer, a centurion, a commander of 100 soldiers, although stationed in Caesarea, Cornelius would probably return soon to Rome. His conversation was a major stepping stone for spreading the good news to the emperor's capital city. And this is a 10, chapter 1. And the first, verse says it was about 600 men. So right away we see a discrepancy here. It says he was a commander of 100 soldiers. But it says here it was about 600 men. And that was in verse 1 in the One New Man Bible, as it said, a centurion from a cohort called Italian. So about 600 men. And let's see. Okay, so there's none till we get. Okay, so then verse 2, he was a devout, God-fearing man who was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to Yahweh. So verse 1, there's another note for verse 1, and then verse 2. It says, this Caesarea, sometimes called Palestinian Caesarea, was located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, 32 miles north of Joppa, the largest and most important port city in the Mediterranean in Palestine. Caesarea served as the capital of the Roman province in Judah. This was the first city to have a Gentile Christians or non-Jewish Christians and a non-Jewish church. Very interesting note there. So for verse 2, it says, what will happen to the heathen who have never heard about Yeshua? This question is often asked about Yahweh's justice. Cornelius wasn't a believer in Yeshua, but was seeking Yahweh and was reverent and generous. Therefore, Yahweh sent Peter to tell Cornelius about Yeshua. This shows that Yahweh rewards those who are sincerely seeking Him. Cornelius' story demonstrated Yahweh's willingness to use extraordinary means to reach these or those who desire to know Him. Those who sincerely seek Yahweh will find him. Yahweh made Cornelius' knowledge complete. And verse 2, it says here in the One New Bible, Yahweh Rivera was the name given to those non-Jewish believers who were attending synagogue and learning about Judaism, but were not full converts. Verse 3 here says, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of Yahweh coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. So verse 3 here, the note says, Cornelius had a vision featuring a heavenly messenger. Yahweh spoke to other Bible characters through a variety of means. This burning bush, of Moses, the talking donkey of Balaam, the Gentile whisper heard by Elijah, the strange object lessons of Jeremiah. Simply put, Yahweh speaks to his people in remarkable different ways. Through the written scriptures, through the words of others, and through circumstances and events, it is up to us to listen, to be perspective, to be alert. What is Yahweh trying to say to you today? So that was for verse 3. Yeah, so it was about 3 p.m., the time of the afternoon prayer, as we see. And verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by Yahweh as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. In verse 5, it says, Caesarea is about 50 miles north of Joppa, about 50 miles north. And continuing, it says, he is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, Cornelius' messages were nearing the town. Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon. And so the One New Bible confirms it was noon. This is all for verse 9 and verse 10. So what we saw here, verse 10. It was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So this is verse 10 here, and it says, he saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of, this is verse 12, were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. The note here for 12 says, according to the Jewish law, certain foods were forbidden to be eaten. Now, this is a common Christian translation in the New Living Testament and the notes for it. And it says here, according to the Jewish law. It was not a Jewish law, folks. It was Yahweh's law to all his people. So let's clear that up right away. Anyway, it said, according to the Torah, the commandments, certain foods were forbidden to be eaten. The food laws made it difficult for Jewish people to eat with non-Jewish people without risking defilement. In fact, the non-Jewish people themselves were often seen as unclean. Peter's vision meant that he should not look upon non-Jewish people as inferior people whom Yahweh would not redeem. Before having the vision, Peter would have thought that a non-Jewish Roman officer could not become a follower of Yeshua. Afterward, he understood that he was responsible to go with the messengers into a non-Jewish home and tell Cornelius the good news of salvation in Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah. Hallelujah. this vision, this scripture. This thing was not about food. It was not about food. Food was being used here that they understood, and Peter would come to the revelation that the gospel is not just for the Jewish people, but it's for all people that are willing and want to believe. So the note here in verse 10 in the Wonder Woman Bible says, this is a state of ecstasy brought about by Yahweh in which consciousness is wholly or partially suspended. That was a note for 10 there. And we did 11 and 12 said, then a voice said, get up, Peter, and eat. Number 14, verse 14. No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that, now it says here, our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. So in the verse 14 here, it reads in the Hebraic root scriptures, but Peter said, Elohim forbid my master, because I never did eat anything common or unclean. So it didn't say Jewish laws, but in the Christian translation, it says Jewish laws. So verse 14 in the One New Man Bible here says, but Peter says, certainly not, because I never ate anything defiled or unclean. Nowhere did it say in the scriptures the Jewish laws, except as we had here, that our Jewish laws have declared impure. It's not the Jewish laws. It's Yahweh's commandments. The note for verse 14 in the Hebraic root scriptures say, in verse 12, there are clean and unclean animals on the sheet. Peter could have eaten a clean animal, as all that was said to him was eat. However, according to the Jewish oral law of the rabbis, if something clean was on the same sheet as a table, as something was unclean, then it became common and could not be touched or eaten. There is one word for unclean, meaning defiled, and another word for common, meaning used by everyone. If a non-Jewish person touched something of a Jewish person, then he became common and could not be used ever again. Then it became common and could not be used ever again. Jewish people in the first century would not even use olive oil if it was crushed by a non-Jewish person. So there was this, you want to say prejudice or this racism or whatever it was, but it was a division. It was a division. And verse 15 says, but the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if Yahweh has made it clean. And the note here says in the Hebraic root scriptures, Yahweh is using the analogy of with food to tell Peter not to call people who were now in the new covenant common. That's a significant scripture for us to understand. And here in verse we just read in 15. In the One New Man Bible, it says the critical phrase is what Yahweh has cleansed, not saying that all things are clean, but only what Yahweh has cleansed. The converts will cleanse because they're yearning for more of Yahweh. With the later evidence of their immersion in the Rahadak HaKodesh. That was for 15. And then verse 16 says, the same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. And the note here says, for 15 and 16, steeped in Jewish tradition and filled with certain biases, Peter was convinced his views on the Gentiles or the non-Jewish people were correct. It took a three-part heavenly vision for Yahweh to change Peter's mind. One of the most basic and practical lessons from the encounter is that when Yahweh speaks, we must not challenge what he has said. Doubting Yahweh is the rebellion of Eden. When Yahweh says something, so is so. We must not debate with him. The right response is humble submission to his revealed truth. Are you trying to argue with Yahweh over some point that he has already made clear? So keep that in mind. And then verse 17, Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. As Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up and go downstairs and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." And that was up to verse 20. So now verse 21 reads, "So Peter went down and said, 'I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come?' 22, they said, 'We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and Yahweh-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message.'" And this was 21 and 22. And the note here says, Cornelius was a religious devotee, generous, respected, and sincere. However, he was still spiritually separated from Yahweh because he needed to understand the gospel. Yahweh sent Peter to present to him the truth about salvation. Be careful not to equate earnestness with righteousness before Yahweh. We are brought into the right standing with Yahweh by faith in Yeshua alone. Have you trusted in Yeshua? Are you starting with others? Are you sharing with others, even those who seem religious, the truth that Yeshua is only the only way to Yahweh? So these are the questions for verse 20 to 21 and 22. It says here in verse 22 in the Wonderman Bible, "Yahweh Revere'it was the name given to the house to those non-Jewish believers who were attending the synagogue and learning Judaism, but were not fully converted to Judaism. In Nehemiah 7:2, God-fearing is used in reference to the Jewish leaders. And verse 23. "So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa." 24. "They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him." And for verse 25, the note says in the One Newman Bible, "This is going down on one knee and bowing to the ground to a great person." In 26, we read, "But Peter pulled him up and said, 'Stand up, I am a human being just like you.' So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, 'You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But Yahweh has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection, as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me.'" And they're up to verse 30 here. Well, 28 says, let's read 28 in the Hebraic root scriptures says, "This was unlawful according to the rabbinical tradition, but not according to the Torah. The whole vision is about changing from the old rigid way that the Jewish tradition of the rabbis looked at non-Jewish proselytes. But now here, but nowhere does it ever condone the eating of unclean food according to Leviticus, the 11th chapter. This whole incident is taking place around 10 years after the resurrection, and Peter clearly said, in chapter 10:14, that he never ate anything unclean." So that was 28, and now we read verse 30. It says, "Cornelius replied, 4 days ago I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man dazzling in clothes was standing in front of me." And 3 p.m. means the time of the afternoon prayer, and that's when he was praying. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by Yahweh. Now send messages to Joppa and summon the man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. 33. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before Yahweh to hear the message Yahweh has given to you. And now we get into this message in verse 34. Perhaps, let's read. 34 says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that Yahweh has shown no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. And the note here for 34 and 35 says, perhaps the greatest barrier to spread the good news in the first century was the Jewish, non-Jewish conflict. Most of the early believers were Jewish, and they thought it scandalous even to think of associating with non-Jewish people. But Yahweh told Peter to take the good news to a Roman, and Peter obeyed despite his background and personal feelings. And then parentheses says later, Peter struggled with this again. And we see that in Galatians 2:11 to 14. Yet it's clear that the good news of Yeshua is for everyone. We should not allow any barrier, language, culture, race, geology, economic level, or educational level to keep us from telling others about Yeshua. And verse 35, every nation has people who are restless for Yahweh, ready to receive the good news, but someone must take it to them. Seeking Yahweh is not enough. People must find him. How then shall seekers find Yahweh without someone to point the way? Is Yahweh asking you to show someone the way to him? And that was 35. Verse 34 in the One in the Bible says, literally does not look at the face, a Hebrew idiom commonly translated, not a respecter of persons. And 35 says a mitzvah, see both mitzvah and righteousness. Mitzvah and righteousness in the glossary. There's a big glossary in this Bible that really gets into them. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to continue to read as we read 35, this is the message of the good news of the people of Israel, that there is peace with Yahweh through Yeshua the Messiah, who is Lord over all. You know what happened throughout Judah, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that Yahweh anointed Yeshua of Nazarene with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Yeshua went around doing the good and healing all who were oppressed by evil, for Yahweh was with him. For Yahweh was with him. In verse 39, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judah and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but Yahweh raised him to life on the third day. Then Yahweh allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom Yahweh had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate, drink, and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and testify that Yeshua is the one appointed by Yahweh to be judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the note here in what we just read says, every nation has a people who are restless and Yahweh, ready to receive Yahweh's good news, but some must take it to them. Seeking Yahweh is not enough. People must find him. It says, Peter's a brief and powerful sermon contained a conscious statement of the good news. Yeshua's perfect life of servanthood, his death on the cross, and his resurrection personally witnessed by experienced by Peter, Yeshua's fulfillment of the scriptures the necessity of a personal faith in him. A sermon or witness for Yeshua does not need to be loud or be effective. It should be spirit-led and should. Well, it does not need to be long to be effective. It should be spirit-led and should center on Yeshua, the way, the truth, and the life. And then 43 says, two examples of prophets testifying about Yeshua and his forgiveness of sins is Isaiah in 52:13, 53:12, and Ezekiel in 36:25-26. That was up to 43. And the note here says, the immersion of purification, that was for verse 37. And then verse 43 says, to Peter and all those with him, belief requires a complete change in behavior. Now it's a 43, as we read now, 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. And it says here in the note in the Hebraic root scriptures, the Holy Spirit rested on them, meaning that it was guarding them, but they still needed baptism and the laying of hands to enter the covenant with Yahweh and have his spirit indwelling in them. And that was for verse 44. That was 44. And 43, it said, to Peter and all those with him, belief requires a complete change in behavior. Now verse 45, the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on non-Jewish people. And it says here, Cornelius and Peter were very different people. Cornelius was wealthy, a Gentile and a military man. Peter was a Jewish fisherman turned preacher. But Yahweh's plan included both of them in Cornelius's house that day. A new chapter in Christian history was written. As a Jewish Christian leader and a non-Jewish Christian convert, each discovered something significantly about the other. Cornelius needed Peter in order to hear the good news and know the way of salvation. Peter needed Cornelius in order to know that the non-Jewish believer were included in Yahweh's plan. You and another believer may also need each other to understand how Yahweh works. That was for verse 45. Very powerful message, 45. In verse 44, it says in the Hebraic root scriptures, the Holy Spirit rested on them, meaning that it was guarding them, but still they needed to baptism and the laying of hands to enter the covenant. We read 44. Sorry about that.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated. Solus Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solus Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.